Welcome to the Advance Your Art podcast, where we talk about the journey from artist to entrepreneur and everything in between. You've worked hard to hone your craft. Now take it to the next level with tips, techniques, strategies, and routines used by successful artists to grow their businesses and careers. Now, let's get started and have some fun with your host, Yuri Cataldo.
How are you today?
I'm doing really well, Yuri. Thank you so much.
Of course, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, such a pleasure. Looking forward to this.
Excellent. I'd like to start off today by asking you how you describe yourself and what you do.
Ooh, it's always such a funny question for me. So I am an artist. I was a dancer my whole life. I've always been a writer, and I segued into acting. So more performance art, after grad school. And I'm also a business developer, and I have a business called Artists in Business, which I, hold online courses and high level coaching for artists of all disciplines and helping them create thriving businesses with and for their art.
Wow. That's wonderful. And that's a lot. You must be a very, very busy person.
That's funny. I try really hard not to be busy. I know, and you could probably attest to this as a business owner, it's like the last thing you want to be as a business owner is just busy. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be taking action in very sort of strategic and focused ways. But what's funny is, yeah, I've always been very, multi-passionate. And if I am not, functioning at a very high level at all times, something like a ball is going to drop. That's the irony, I guess, with, you know, my personality. So I've come to learn that about myself, because everybody used to tell me, you know, you're going to need to slow down. My father in particular used to be so worried about me in high school. I was like involved in everything you could imagine and really kind of excelling in all of it. And one day he just sat down with me and he's like, you really need to slow down. And I was like, why? And he was like, because you can't do all these things. It's, you know, you're going to burn out. And I was like, really? I mean, like, it, you know, because I was fine. It didn't feel like I was on the road to burnout. I was kind of feeling really good. And so I got scared and I was like, okay, well, maybe I should think about that. And then I started to overthink it and, you know, kind of like tried to step back and relax a little bit. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, like this is going wrong over here and this is going wrong over here. And I was like, hang on, you know, I was good before. Let me just step back up into that sort of, you know, take control mm-hmm. sort of role and run with it.
Yeah, it's, you have a very interesting mix of what you do now and background. I'm curious, did you go to school for business, or did you start off by going to school for acting and writing and the creative side?
Yep. So I come from my father is an artist and my mother was an English and reading teacher, and I danced my entire life, and I've always been a writer, as I mentioned. So in college, in undergrad, I majored in dance and film with a minor in creative writing. And then in grad school, I took 2 years off and went to NYU for grad school and studied cross-cultural dance and theater with a focus on classical Indian dance, because that was a really practical topic.
Of course it was.
Yes, of choice. But I grew, growing up, I had an uncle who was like a second father to me. He never married and he didn't have kids, and we were really close. And he was an electrician by trade, but a stock market investor as well. Mm-hmm. And from when I was 6 years old, he had been talking to me about the importance of, starting a business and taking control of your finances and talking to me about the stock market. And he would do this while we were at Kmart and I was shopping for toys, because he would, you know, he would take me shopping. We would go out for lunch together and then we would go to Kmart and I would be like in the toy aisle, just in, you know, my zone, just, you know, in like a blissful state. And he would be talking to me about the stock market. And I mean, I was like, it was the last thing I wanted to hear. I was trying to tune him out as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And I did that all through high school. He was talking to me, same story, same message he was giving me all through high school. And I just worked really hard to tune him out as much as possible. And, you know, the interesting thing is that afterwards, when I was in grad school, I stopped and said, oh, wow, like, I actually enrolled in a stock market course and I started to learn about the stock market. And then because I saw the struggle of the life of an artist, number one, and I really took to heart what he had been telling me and realized, you know, I wanted to learn more. So he and I started to have some really amazing conversations from that point on. And I became savvy with the stock market and was, you know, writing covered calls and buying options. Much to his dismay, he didn't like that I was buying options. But again, my personality, it's like, if you're going to do it, you might as well go all the way. Right. So, yep. So I did. So that's where it all began, like where, how the two merged for me and, you know, kind of where my mind was in terms of business as an artist.
Okay. The stock market class that you took, was that through NYU or was that a separate course that you took in New York?
It was literally, I got a letter in the mail from one of those free courses. And as a marketer, you know exactly what they've done. They, you know, it's a free course and they're going to have an offer at the end. And, mm-hmm. And so that's what I signed up for. And, it was amazing. I was completely blown away. It was like, you know, teaching people. And, you know, the funny thing is that that company, the guy, the person who taught it, that guy filed for bankruptcy, a couple of years after I took that course.
That's but, not a good sign.
No, it was terrible. But while I was taking it, I was amazed. I was like, I was watching people all around me, you know, making a lot of money mm-hmm. in the stock market and using tools and strategies to do so and treating it like a business. And so it was really my first kind of like real immersion with a group of business owners because, you know, I just hadn't been around them up until then. So, yeah, I was like really intimidated, but then really challenged in a good way by it all.
Oh, great. So after grad school and you started, in working in the stock market, what was your day job or was the stock market trading your day job?
No, yeah. So I didn't work in the stock market. I just like on my own, okay. You know, on my own computer, would write covered calls, and you can do that as a like a layperson. That's what I did. But I was a yoga instructor. I had a back injury as a dancer in undergrad, and started to practice Iyengar style yoga, which healed my back. And so when I moved to Chicago for 2.5 years, I apprenticed with one of the best teachers in the country there, Gabriel Halpern, and became a teacher at his school, the Yoga Circle. And so all through grad school at NYU, I was actually teaching yoga to support myself.
Okay. Excellent. And then in your career, I noticed on your bio that eventually you started this company called Love and Water Designs. What was the backstory with that?
So after I, you know, got done with grad school and, you know, was, working on like being a working artist, you know, the kind of artist I was in performance art, you know, it wasn't like, I was auditioning for some film and television. But that really wasn't my true passion. My true passion was to create my own work and work with really incredible artists in the process. So I was in fact able to do that. I was working with Lanny Harrison, who worked with Meredith Monk. I was working a little bit with Labyrinth Theater Company with Philip Seymour Hoffman and Stephen Adley Gierges, and was in a show directed by John Patrick Shanley. And these were all, you know, in the name of performance art and creating my own work. And along with that, you comes the it's necessary for me to have the funding to be able to produce my own work. And so I did have a day job, and what I loved about, I was running a fashion showroom for a PR company. And what I loved about that job was the incredible flexibility they gave me, and got to work in the fashion world for 4 years. But I got to a point where I realized, you know, I really truly want to take my art to the next level, and I want to start getting hired in, you know, as a choreographer, as a writer. How do I do that? I clearly need to have like a good business plan. Mm-hmm. And so what I decided was, I should start this company and use that as a test to see if I could really do this. And so Love and Water Designs was this company where it was a platform where artists from all over the world could submit designs inspired by different charities. People would vote on the designs they liked the best, and then we would print the ones that won, and the artists and the charities would both get a portion of the profits. So I kind of really like took that and ran with it, and left my day job to do so. And so that was my very first company.
That's wonderful. While you were starting this company, were there books you were reading that helped you create it and launch it, or were there mentors that you worked with? How did that process work?
Well, yeah, I mean, so basically to prepare for the launch of this company, I was doing a lot of like online market research, so on how to market online. And I was talking to a lot of other business owners. And one book I read during that time, which was extremely helpful, was Rework. I have to remember who wrote that book. But it was just instrumental in helping me sort of focus and get organized. And it really gave me the confidence to keep on going, because it was like these guys were so good at what they did and really talked about streamlining and staying true to what you want to do and stripping away everything else that could possibly be a shiny object or be in your way of, you know, achieving that goal.
It's so easy, especially as a business owner, to get caught up on a lot of details that probably don't matter and are oftentimes just a distraction from what you're actually trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How long did you run that company for?
So that company was, as I said, it was my first attempt, and I really kind of went all the way with it. The thing that happened, though, was that my marketing plan wasn't working. I wasn't getting results, and I wasn't bringing in the amount of sales I needed to keep it going for the amount of, like, capital I had. So I had to close the doors within the first year. So it lasted just about a year. Okay. But as a result, I realized, you know, there was really something missing in what I was doing. And right around that time, I was looking for a mentor. I was looking for a business owner who I felt, you know, could really teach me what I needed to know at that point. And luckily, that mentor found me. I was introduced to a man named Roger Webster, who owned a really successful PR company in the city. And he represented most all high-end charities in New York City. And he wanted me to create online social media campaigns for the events that they were throwing, mm-hmm. for like the American Cancer Society, Central Park Conservancy, Fund for Park Avenue, like these really high-end charities. And I was really excited, but I told him point blank, I said, I don't know if I'm the right person for you, because here's what just happened with my company. And, you know, I'd love some guidance, but I don't know. And he said, listen, I have all the faith that you can do this. Let's just sit down and figure out what went wrong. And he sat down with me. He looked at my business plan for Love and Water. And he just kind of took one look at it and said, oh, my God, like, what were you thinking? And exactly what you want to hear.
Right, exactly. That's the
And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, he's like, I just don't know when you creative people are going to learn, to be honest with you. He's like, you know, there is no financial plan attached to this business plan. Like, your marketing plan looks really great, but what was your goal? You know, what were you going for? Where's the money? Like, where's the financial part of it? And he just really laid it out for me step by step on how, because my question was, well, why do I need that in the beginning? At that time, that genuinely was my question, because I had talked to a lot of other business owners who looked at my plan, and they all were like, yo, you're good to go. And, you know, come to find later that a lot of those owners were struggling in their own businesses more than I realized at the time. Mm-hmm. And it really took, you know, this man to say to me, you know, this is only 10% of businesses in the U.S., small businesses survive every year. And the ones that survive, this is why, because they know the importance and how necessary it is to set a goal financially with your marketing. Mm-hmm. And so when I asked that question, like, why is it necessary? And he explained it to me. I said, okay, that does make perfect sense. And then he said, well, let's test it out on the American Cancer Society. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you're going to put me on the American Cancer Society. He's like, yes, I'm going to put you on the American Cancer Society. You're going to organize this whole event from an online marketing standpoint. I'm going to go to Paris on vacation for 2 weeks. And when I come back, he's like, and you can't call me either. You've got to work with the vice president of the ACS and deal with her and just do what we've laid out here and, you know, follow the steps. And I did. And it worked. I mean, it was a really successful event. And we hit, but most importantly, we hit the financial goal. That was the whole, you know, the whole point. And so once I saw that, he was like my hero for life. And, I'm so indebted to him. And, he then helped me, bring on some more clients for myself. And I started my own consulting company, doing the same for other small business owners.
Oh, wow.
That's how I really learned how to market successfully.
Okay. And then from that experience, how long was it until you started the Artisan Business Company?
Well, you know, it was my goal the whole time to do that. You know, Love and Water Designs was kind of the, you know, I wanted to have a business that helped other artists. And so that, you know, any business I started, it was like, I want to help other artists and I want to be able to give back to the charities that are meaningful to me. And so it was while I was doing this other consulting work, I was kind of like, you know, making a great, building a great business. And I was also applying it to my own writing. I became a member of the Writers Guild at that point. And so I was able to, get a lot of work using these techniques as a writer. I ghost wrote a book. I edited another book. I did, I had so many incredible writing jobs along the way that contributed to my 6-figure income and, some choreography as well. So, but it was always my goal to come back to helping other artists. And so over these last 2 years, I, started to put together a group of people, of artists, who were interested in building their businesses. And I put together a course where I got to test out the techniques I had learned in a course format to see how that would work. And I had now had 550 artists take that course. And some of them have seen just extraordinary results. So I've been able to really refine it and, you know, now have transitioned from doing that consulting work just right into the artisan business, solely working on that.
I'm really excited that you said that you tested this out a lot, because I know a lot of people, they have some ideas and they just kind of create something which they think needs to be perfect the first time, and then, you know, either get discouraged along the way there or put it up and then, you know, are again discouraged that it didn't turn out the way they thought it did, because they just created it kind of in a vacuum. Whereas you brought this and tested it with actual artists. How did you find your first few artists that you worked with? Were they friends of yours or just people that you had business acquaintance with?
You know, well, it's really funny because, you know, once you have a business that fails and fails like really hard within the first year, well, speak for myself. I had a business fail really hard in the first year. And we talk about like switching over to being extraordinarily conservative in terms of like how I was going to test this until I knew it was right. And what I also learned was that friends and family are not necessarily my ideal clients. Even though many of them were artists, I truly wanted to reach the artists who were ready for something like this. So I didn't reach out to my friends. I let them know about it, but if they weren't like immediately interested, it was clear that I just let it go. So I relied on direct outreach, sort of marketing through social media, putting the word out, and using Facebook ads. And it was Facebook ads where I really found the sweet spot of a group of artists who started to really respond. And that's how I got the first people in to take the course.
Now that you've been doing it for a couple of years, what are some of the biggest problems that you've noticed that artists have in regard to starting and running businesses?
So I mainly work with female artists between the ages of 30 and 50, who again are serious about building businesses with their art. And almost 100% across the board, the main challenge they all face, which was the same one I faced, even though I had an uncle who was talking to me about the stock market, and I actually traded in the stock market and did understand finance, you know, to a greater degree than most people, I still had the same challenge in starting my business, which was the financial component of the business and how to run that. And there are, again, it's almost across the board. I think there are some really specific reasons that we, as artists, struggle with the financial side of a business and finances in general, and specifically as women as well. There's been very little, we're not exposed to it at all. It's not a part of our dialogue from a really young age or even into adulthood. I mean, many of the women who take my course have never even thought about their financial life, like never looked at their personal finances, have always had somebody else do it for them. And even if they have looked at it, it's something they dread. They're not enjoying because they don't know how to approach it correctly or in a way that could benefit them. It doesn't feel good to them to do, so they don't do it. And then there's a terrible feeling that they're left with because they know that they should be dealing with it, but they don't, you know, they can't even like broach the subject. And a lot of them feel like they've gone so long without dealing with it that like, how could they just kind of pick it up now? Mm-hmm. And are afraid, they're afraid of what they're going to realize, you know, or what they're going to see if they do. So that's the long and the short of that's the main challenge. Everything else in terms of running a business, I feel artists are the, like, have it covered, are hardwired to do the best. They're passionate about what they have to offer. They are genuinely interested in connecting with those who resonate with their work. Those two things alone are what, you know, is the crux of, are the crux of what creates an incredible business, a really promising business. But without the financial piece, that's the, you know, you can't really you can't move.
So with the financial piece, and I know it is a huge component, and I myself have struggled with the financial piece in the past as well, because of the fact that you're right, like as an artist growing up in that world, that I never had a conversation about the money part, because I was the creative, and we always, even in the theater world, it was, well, that's what the theater managers and the producers, they deal with the money side, you know, or your agent, you deal with the creative side, and you don't work, you know, don't think about that, which then leads to all kinds of uncomfortable conversations later on when you're like, well, I haven't gotten paid for this, and what's going on with that? I'm curious, how do you then approach the subject with your clients in a way that makes finances more comfortable for them?
Oh, gosh, that's such a great question. You know, when I first started the course, when I first put it out to the first group of people I tested it on, so the first like 100 to 150 people who took the course, the way that I presented it was it's a 14-day course, and the objective is to get in and out of the course as quickly as possible so you can start taking real action in your business, so that you're not allowed to like linger in the course and find comfort in the material there to kind of as a way of avoiding taking action. So the first 4 days of the course laying out the creative side of your business. What is your why? What is your vision for your art? You know, what do you see happening? Then what's the mission of your business? So it's setting up that structure, clarifying your offer. And so everybody was getting really into that, because as artists, it's like, yes, let's dive in to that creative side and get really detailed about it. And then days 5 and 6 were, okay, now what is your financial baseline for your personal life and for your business? And let's separate the two. And then day 6 is, now let's come up with a 12-month financial plan. And 95% of the people would drop off on those 2 days, and they just did not want to do it. And it, no matter how I worded it, didn't matter. It was like, this is not what we're going to do. Then they would come back on day 7. It's like all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, you know, we had to take days 5 and 6 off. Like every single person, and then like, here we are back again, ready to go. And so I was like, wow, I worked really hard to create incentives and motivating factors to keep them engaged with those days, and really give them, like, honestly, it was just letting them know, like, I know how hard this is. But if you don't do this, you aren't going to see results. I can promise you that. Your results are going to be sporadic at best. So if you do see some results now, that's exciting. But you have to know, with a business, you need to create consistency and predictability. And the only way that you're going to do that is if you get this handled right now. So I did everything. I even created like a bitch and moan thread in the Facebook group for them to come in and talk about, you know, like why it was so harder, because they would, you know, all sorts of emotions come up around money. Mm-hmm. It was actually these 2 days and this experience actually motivated me to create my second course, which is called The Profit Canvas. And it's a deeper look into how to run the financial side of your business. And the first thing we deal with in that course is your emotional relationship to money and what that even means, because everyone's emotions around money during these 2 days were just, I mean, what's the word I'm looking for? Irrational at best. And, you know, everybody was like, I don't like to be, a lot of people didn't like that they were going through that. Like, there was like, this is interrupting my life. You know, the fact that I'm getting so emotional over this, I don't want to have to deal with this. And my response is that it's because money is something that we deal with every single day. Every single person has to, we all have to, negotiate with it on a daily basis. It's our chosen form of exchange, not just in this country, but worldwide. Mm-hmm. And so we cannot wake up in the morning and not have it be a part of our day. And with that's why with artists, you know, that sort of like starving artist mentality where it's like we don't even want to not deal with it. I mean, that just is fodder for a whole lot of emotional baggage you're going to carry around with you. So the second that you start dealing with it, it's like it's amazing how they would have all these emotions to begin with. And then they'd get through those 2 days and everything would just calm down. It's like there's no the drama is taken out of it. Because money just needs clarity. So once that clarity is there, then it becomes like, oh, really, it's not that hard.
So with finances, a lot of creatives have a stigma when it comes down to particularly like the sales part of it.
Yes.
So how do you approach that, like the conversation about, so you've got a product, you have to now sell it. How do you right. approach that?
So it's so interesting because, you know, as you and I know, sales is an art. I mean, and it requires a lot of practice and a lot of attention to understanding what you're actually doing when you're selling something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sales has such a bad rap because people don't give it the attention it deserves. And then they come at it from all the wrong angles. And it does feel sleazy when you do it that way, because when you're coming at it in the way that it's like, I know that you have a need or you have, you know, a desire for something, and I have what you're looking for, and here's what it is. That's what it boils down to, and that's what you have to get to. But there's a whole art to that, and artists above possibly anybody else are the ones, unfortunately, I have found who take that for granted the most. Mm-hmm. And it's something that it just sort of like as much as finances, they want to avoid learning about sales and how to sell. But again, what I have found is that those who actually turn their attention to it and say, okay, you know what? I am going to look at this. I am going to learn this and really, you know, learn some great selling techniques. Again, are the ones who see the best results. Sales and marketing are two separate things, and that's another thing a lot of artists get confused. So they think the people I've worked with often will think that a marketing campaign is about selling, and it's not at all. Again, that's where marketing can feel really, you know, sleazy and manipulative. Marketing is always about feedback, because what you're doing is you're finding the right people to match your offer with. Mm-hmm. And you've got to know like what it is they need and what they're resonating with so that you can repeat back to them. Listen, I hear what you're saying. I get what you need. And here's what I have that could possibly fill that. The sales comes after you have a solid marketing campaign that's giving you great feedback. It's kind of a byproduct of that campaign. So that's really something that I can't stress enough when I work with people in differentiating between.
With the artists that you work with, I'm sure a lot of this, some of these blocks come down to just fear, which is not necessarily a rational fear, but it, you know, it feels very big to them at that moment. How do you help artists overcome fear?
The fears that come up usually have to do with what level of business they're in. So like different fears will come up with an artist who just has an idea for a business, but mm-hmm. hasn't taken the step yet to really like launch it and test it out. Versus an artist who is kind of like in the emergent phase and is already selling things, and is having fear about, well, how do I make this consistent and predictable? Because when you sell something for the first time, you immediately put yourself in a whole other mindset, your state of mind changes completely, because you take a step towards that commitment to truly building a business. And then your commitment lies in making sure you're selling enough to keep your business alive so that you can keep repeating that process. So it's a very different state than being in the idea phase and just sort of like thinking about it and imagining it. Mm-hmm. But there are definite, and then there's the fears of the person who's had a business for 15 years. I mean, I just had a jewelry maker who's been in business for 15 years, and she was at sort of like a flat line for a really long time, and she just did not know how to scale to the next level. And so, you know, she had her own set of fears that we were able to deal with. But the way that I deal with or I help, I guess, the artists in the idea phase get over the fear of like, how am I going to make this happen, is to point out that 80% of your time and energy at that stage should be spent on market research, understanding who your ideal client is, your potential ideal client, for what it is you have to offer, and focusing, making sure you're clear about what you have to offer. Because it's so easy at that point to say, I paint custom murals for people's homes, and I also do pet portraits, so why don't I just offer those together? And it's like, because they're really separate offers. And what determines the offer is the ideal client on the other side. So like, not everybody who wants a pet portrait is going to want a custom mural. And so you have to be able to start thinking about that and get that clear at that point, and figure out, start to connect with people, see who's resonating with each offer. And if you do that, then it kind of sets them on a track to get busy, like put them into action, but also kind of can see like, oh, okay, I've got people interested. So now where do I go? And then it's like, okay, well, now we're going to talk about pricing. Now we're going to talk about how you're going to, you know, sell that offer. Then the fear of the person in the emergent stage who is selling things already but doesn't know where to go, I feel 80% of their time and energy needs to be just on marketing, and marketing well, like marketing consistently. So consistency is the key at that point, because you're merging into your marketplace, and you want people to know that you're there to stay. You want them to know you, to like you, to trust you, of course, but also to just see that you're not going anywhere. So how do you establish that consistency? And I feel like taking those kinds of actions can really alleviate fear.
In your personal business and how you structure your day, are there particular routines that you have or rituals that you do consistently throughout that set up your day for success?
Well, the one thing I do every morning, I'm a morning person, and I've not always been a morning person, but I wanted to become one at one point. So I kind of really changed it up. And so I get up at 5:30, and I drink a hot water with lemon immediately, because it's really hydrating and just super good for you. And it's very grounding for me. And then I go for a walk, and I do like a really fast walk usually around the reservoir at Central Park. Mm-hmm. Just to really kind of get my endorphins going and clear my head to start the day. If I can start the day just doing those two things, I'm usually good to go.
That's great. What would you say is the best advice you've ever received?
That would be from my father, who always said, take care of yourself first and observe. He was always telling me to observe, become the observer, and listen to your instincts. Like, you can trust yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that was like the repeated message I got from him my whole life. And it's probably the best advice I've ever received.
Mm-hmm. So, Alexis, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. If the listeners would like to get a hold of you and contact you or see more about what you're working on, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. They can reach me at alexisfedor.com. And you can write to me at info@alexisfedor.com. And we'll get right back to you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'll put this in the show notes, so it'll make it easy for them.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Well, again, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me this morning.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Advance Your R podcast. If you like this episode, please go into iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. And while you're there, hit the subscribe button so that every single time I release a new episode, it will go directly to you without even thinking about it. If you're interested in hearing older episodes, please go to advanceyourart.com where you can find the catalog of everything I've done so far, as well as contact information and projects I'm working on. Thank you again, and have a great day.